Today's daf is daf kuf chav vav, and we're holding right at the first word on top, but I think it would be a good idea for us to review from the Piskei Halacha of Rav Papa yesterday, as we stopped in the middle. So let's start four lines up from the bottom of kuf chav hei on the base. Om Rav Papa, hilchata en haba'al notel, b'ra'ui kebimuchzav. First of all, the halacha is, as we saw, nobody is chilek. That if something is ra'ui, in an absolute sense, so for instance, if his wife had died and now she is yoresh at somebody else, her father dies after she dies, that there's bechlal no question on. That for sure, there's no din that a baal would be yoresh as ish of the kevin. We never had any machlokas about that at all. The only case where we had a machlokas was yesterday's case about the acharecha for so-and-so. There was a machlokas whether acharecha is considered to be only a medina of peros, but it's actually giving immediately or not. Fine. That's not a question of whether he would be yoresh roi. It's a question of what defines roi. But this is absolutely guaranteed. We never found anybody, even Rav Huna, as we pointed out yesterday, that holds that a baal would be yoresh roi kibimuksa. The question of also what would be considered to be roi or mulzik legabe a bechor is not necessarily the same roi or mulzik legabe a baal. Because by a bechor, the question is he's taking a chelek of bechera, but over here he's the only yerish. So in other words, certainly there's no question when it comes to a baal, and let's say the cases that we had before of chafura of avishufli, the cases of the dikla, there was olim. Don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. I don't like that. We're supposed to all be Bikim now. What's going on here? If there's only one Yerish, the Baal, then obviously he gets whatever it is. If it grew into a field of grain over the course of the time, who else is going to get it? He's the Yerish. That's not the question. There it's not considered to be Roi. It's only a question of Roi when it comes to determining which Chelek goes where. So if you have a Bechor and you have a Pasha, then the question is whether that additional element, since it isn't viewed as having been there, b'shas misa, so the question is who gets that chelek. But if there's only one yerish, that's not the issue, of course. So the only thing that we're talking about over here of roi kibamulzik is a question of yerusha bekever and so on. The other machlokasin wouldn't be nogea, the din of a baal. They're only nogea, the din of a bechor. Furthermore, ein abechor no to b'roi kibamulzik. So in other words, Rav Pup is paskeding like the Rabbanan. Obviously, I mean, everybody agrees that Bechor is not Noito Baroi Kibamozik. He's coming to paskin something, coming to add something. So he's coming to say that in the Machlokas of the Rabbanan and Rebbe, in the cases where something now has changed, so we had the cases before of Shlufafi, Vavi Tamre, little trees, now they became, they're already called now something that's completely different. There were little buds, and now they're fruits, and so on. So there we had a machlokas, whether that's considered to be a shevach that is roi or a shevach that's called mukzik. But certainly everybody is made, as we saw before, the Rabbanan were also made, that in the cases where it still had the same din, let's say it was ara, and now it got more fertile because it silted up, as we had before, the sirtain. Fine, then he's not coming to talk about it. He's talking about the machlokas between Rebbe and the Rabbanan. So Rebbe and the Rabbanan, he's paskening like the Rabbanan straight out. Then we had the other question, because even after we determined what the din is, legabe, the land that improved, or the tree that changed, or the fruits that got a new name, we still had a question, if remember, between Shmuel on the one hand, and the Shochel Mitan, on the other hand, as to whether a milveh with a shtar would be better even than the cases that the Rabbanu were chaylik. Perhaps the Rabbanu would be made in there. Or maybe they were worse. Because there's nothing that he has in his rishus. Fine. That was a machlokas, which now Rav Papa also wants to come and paskin. Furthermore, he says, Ve'in ha-bukher notel pishnayim b'milveh, obviously even with a shtar, and that would mean ben shegavu karka, ben shegavu ma'ot. Let's make it very clear. Even though there was a machlokas Rav and Reb Nachman yesterday as to what the Bnei Ma'arava were referring to when they sent the psak that the Bukhor would be geiver in the, not in the rebit, but in the actual keren that was owed in the milveh. The Papa says we don't paskin like that. Bechlal, we paskin alibed rabbanon and alibed rabbanon that he's not neitel at all, and that a shtar does not consider it to be muchzik biyotcha. It doesn't matter, as a buyer pointed out yesterday. It doesn't matter whether you're collecting money, because it's not the same money that you loaned. And it doesn't matter if you collected karka, because the guy could have prevented you from collecting that karka. And therefore, for all intents and purposes, it's just a coincidence. It's not related directly to your lien, and therefore it's not called mulzik. And we forget all about these discussions. The only place where there would be a possibility for a bechor to be neitel pishnayim b'milveh, even aliba the rabbana, when we paskin like Shmuel, as Rav Papa is paskining, is if he had a mashkin. Because a mashkin is real value that he's holding in his hand. So it already came into his. It's considered to be gavui. That's the same reason when it comes to Shemitah, there's no history of collecting it in Shemitah. You already collected it. Now the guy wants to buy back what he pawned. The mamela, so buy back what he pawned. But there, in Achinami, that's considered not to be a new collection, a mashkin. Okay? But other than that, there would be no halacha of neitel pishnayim in a milveh. In all of the complicated cases we had, it all boils down to the same psak, says Rav Papa. And the only place where we have an interesting question is where the father had made the loan to his son who's in the bechor. And then he dies. Why is that a question? Because in a normal case where a guy has to give a lien based on a shtar, he's certainly in no mood to extend the rights to the lender. He wants to limit the rights as much as possible. Whatever the shtar gives the lender the right to collect, mela, I'd sign the shtar. So that's what I'm giving. But a bechor is thinking to himself, well, what if my father dies before he collects? So then I'll still have to pay back the estate. But if I pay back the estate, I'm not going to be able to take a double chelek, because we paskin that in a bechor neitel in a milveh. So mamela, it's in my best interest to give dad a lien that should be considered to be muzik biyada. Because then if he dies and I pay back the loan, I'll be able to get a double chelik from the loan. So there already it becomes, listen, people, you know, you have to be practical about his money. So therefore, that's like Chazal say, if somebody's father dies, Rachmana Litzlan, has to make two brachas, a dayan embas and a toiva meitiv. At the same time, the Teva Beit even makes on the Yerusha. The Dayan Embassy makes on the death. There's no, you know, business is business and life is life. And no, it's not.
Or does it depend on the event?
Well, so here too, the question is, does that help? In other words, I definitely, as a Bechor, would like to make sure that I get an extra chelek in the money that I'm going to pay back to the estate. The question is my willingness to give an enhanced lien to my father, does that turn it into muzik? That nobody discussed. Until now, we've been discussing normal liens, which a person gives ba'ayin ra'ah. I'm going to give you the minimal lien that's going to work in the court for you to collect. In this case, I want to give you the most powerful collection as possible. As far as I'm concerned, if I could turn it into muzik b'yotcha, in my mind, I'd like you to be muzik. So there already there's a question, la halacha, does that desire to provide the father with a chazaka, does it mean anything? So does it actually change the nature of the shtar to give him a lien because it's an umdana, that the desired lien over here should be a chazaka biyada or not? That's a suffix. Since it's a suffix, taina's Rav Papa, it's mamra mutal b'safek. Therefore we'll split it. So now splitting it becomes a very complicated thing. So let's imagine a case now where he's got two brothers, this bechor. He borrowed $100,000 from his father. Writes out a shtar. The father dies. Okay, so now the estate, let us imagine that's the sum total of the estate, just to keep things simple. He pays the estate back the $100,000. Okay, so now we know $25,000 obviously he has, because every brother gets $25,000. We're going to split the estate four ways in terms of the bechor. So he gets two, and the other two get one apiece. So $25,000 he keeps. That's a given. Both other brothers also take $25,000. Now, there's the remaining $25,000 in which it comes to court. The brothers are saying, look, it's a loan. Bechor doesn't get Pishnayim of a loan. So that remaining 25,000 is split three ways between all of us, just like the rest of it was. The Bechor time is, but I wanted to give Dad an enhanced lien so that I could get the double chelek. So the whole 25,000 is mine. Therefore, Tainas Rav Papa split it between the Bechor on one side, who takes 12,500. The two brothers take 6,250 apiece, because that way we split the Bama Nabotu B'Safek, and then whoever is on one side gets it, and whoever's on the other side gets it. If there would have been five brothers, they would have had to split the 12,505 ways. I mean, obviously it wouldn't have been the same amount. Then we would have split the whole estate six ways. But the bottom line is that it's only the Chelek Bechera that we're talking about here, which becomes Momen Amutu B'Safek. Cute, huh?
Sometimes we don't say that. We don't
That's the way the Rashbam understands it. Taisus disagrees with this whole thing, but this is the Rashbam is very vehement not to learn other pshatim here. And we'll go with the simple pshat that the Gemara is based, as we often miss, was a big machlekes rishonim. We find so many places the Gemara seems to take for granted Momen Amutu B'Safek Chalkin. That's really a shaila, whether that's really the psak or not. Okay, but the Rashbam is learning that this now is the final psak here in the list of piskei halakas of Rav Papa, that a milva she'imai, if he made a loan with the Bechor himself, then the chelek ha-bechera is palgen, split it two ways, between the Bechor and between the rest of the family. Om Rav Huna, Om Rav Asi. Bechor she'micha, micha. You should know that if a Bechor is meiche in the other brothers. We've been talking about a case where the other brothers improve the property. So we said, if the brothers improve the property, so the money that was invested from the estate, for sure the Bechor does not get Bishnai. The question is, what's considered to be a natural, automatic increase? Shvokadasi Mamela, that we discussed before, what type of things, Bachlokis Rebbe Verabonan, and a Shvokadasi Mamela, we talked about the Pora, that was outdoors, and the rent that's coming in, where people don't have to put in additional money from the estate, fine. But how about if, when the father dies, the Bechor tells the brothers, listen, guys, I don't want any investments from the estate. I'll take care of my own chelek, you'll take care of your own chelek, don't put in money until we split. They say, no, we want to put in a sprinkler system, it's going to make things worth more. I'll put in my own sprinkler system. They go ahead, and they put in a sprinkler system. Now the Bechor comes, and he's taking his double chelek. Say the other brothers, yeah, but you don't get a double chelek in the sprinkler system, because the sprinkler system that we put in by investing money from the estate, so you'll have to pay us for that, or take less land. No, says the Bechor, that's ridiculous. You guys are ganovin. Who told you to put in money? That you stole from me. So that I'm definitely taking. This belongs to me. I never would have invested it from your money. I invested it from my own money.
Appropriate amount that they invested this is? They stole the funds that I also owned.
If this thing increased in the value of the field, and now you're saying, but that was an increase before the field was worth 100,000. Now it's worth 150,000. You can only take a chelek b'chayr on the 100,000 field. The 50,000 we have to split evenly. He says, well, that's nonsense. Because that money that you put in, who gave you a right to put that in? Now, we'll see that what this is really based on is an amazing halacha that's coming up now later in the daf, which is that a Bechor might have the ability to be Daitel the Chelek Bechera without Chalukah. And this is based on the word Latet. Because as we saw before, the word Latet is very inappropriate. What's the Pshat Latet Lo Pishnai? It's a din in Yerusha. Latet is a din in Matana. So one diak we made from Latet was that maybe indeed there's an enhanced requirement for Muchzik. Because the Torah compares to the Matana to teach it, unless it's entirely in your hands, it's like a davar shelo ba'olam, you can't give it. Okay, but we saw that was a machlokes. Lamaisa, another possible expression of the word latet, is that just as a father could give metzava mitoich misa, he can give a gift before he dies. The chelek b'chera is viewed as a gift from the father. So therefore, if the Bechor wants to be zeich in the gift, he can be zeich in the gift. Masha'in came the normal chelek of the Bechor, or the chelek ha-poshet of the Bechor, or the chelek ha-poshet of all the pshutim. I mean, that's an estate until it's split. Until then, they're all shutim in it, but they don't have a specific chelek that's theirs. So since a Bechor gets pishnayim kedem chalukah, as we'll see later on, so therefore, when he is meicha, he's saying, I want to keep my chelek, please keep your hands out of there. Therefore, he's zeichin it right away. If I go in and I improve it without his rishas, he's not mechuyif to pay me, other than in a normal normal halacha, which would take a hutzot, whatever, you know, whatever is less. But he certainly does have the right to have the pishayim in his chelik, because he already was zeichah in that chelik. That's what this is really based on. Now, lemaisa, it raises other questions. Because once that's true, let's say that they cause damage. Let's say that they go ahead and they process his grapes. And they say, look, you know, until you're going to get around to split this estate, everything's going to spoil. We want to make wine today. He says, no, I don't want you to make wine. I'll do my own wine. I know how to make wine better than you. And they go ahead and they say, hey, the guy's crazy. They go and they take the whole harvest. They make wine out of it. And the wine spoils. So he could sue them. They say, you're going to have him. Now, the question is, of course, all of these issues we're going to talk about, I'm just giving you an overview of what's coming. Once they took grapes and turned it into wine, we run into another question, and that is that they were kena with a shinui. But if they're kena with a shinui, then that's theirs and not his. Then how can they get pishnayim from something that a ganav took? So all of these issues now are wrapped up in this question of whether a bechor can actually assert his right to a chelek before there's a chalukah. That's what it boils down to. Okay. So Taina is now Rav Asi, according to Ravuna. If a bechor is mecha, that mecha helps. Omar Rabba, well, now it depends, says Rabba. I mean, let's think about the different implications of this. Mistaber Taina to Rav Asi, but anavimu batzrum, zeitim umaskum. Let's say that there were now grapes that needed to be harvested. Or there were olives that needed to be harvested. Unfortunately, English is a poor language when it comes to matters of the earth. And therefore, there's no different words. Can you imagine? You harvest things. No relationship to what you're harvesting because it's a mechanical language. So the mechanics, what's the difference? You know, you're harvesting. All that counts is the bottom line. You got it. You raped it. Good. Now we're happy. And of course, in Lashon HaKodesh, your relationship to what it is that you're doing changes the act by definition. I don't feel the same way about picking a grape as I do with picking an olive, so it has a completely different name. But anyway, we're limited here to English. So you went ahead and you harvested the crop. And so over there, there was no shinui in the crop. Since there was no shinui, and the bechor insisted that he wants his own, and they say, now wait a minute, it's worth a lot more because of all the work we put in. A bechor doesn't get pishnayim and work that we put in. He says, you put in the work as ganavim. You went into my field, I already asserted my chelik, and I told you not to do anything. So what, now you expect that I shouldn't be neitel pishnayim? You're crazy? Of course I'll be neitel pishnayim. But if they took now the anavim, and they were derech, the anavim, or they squeezed the olives, and now they got wine or oil, then they cannot, in fact, he cannot, in fact, be derech the pishnayim, because in that case, what happens is that they're kind of bishinu, since they're ganovim, so now he doesn't have the thing to be kind of bishnayim. It's as if somebody walked off with it. So now when they're paying it back, what's that paying back a day? That's nothing to do with the bechor being night of bishnayim. So basically, there, Rav Asi's psak would not apply. That's what it appears to me, says now Rabba. V'Rav Yosef Amar, no. I taina afil dorchum, even if you made wine out of it, he gets pishnai. What? How is that possible? Dorchum, it's clearly a shinui. Mikara inve, first it was called grapes, and now you're calling it wine. So how in the world could he be naito pishnai from a geneva? I don't understand. No, you misunderstand Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef never meant that he could take pishnai. Of course he can't take pishnai. When he was paskening afilu dorchum, he meant that if the brothers took the grapes, turned it into wine, after he was mecha, and therefore asserted the right to his chelek, he can sue them for damages. That's the pshat to the wine. And like later on, we're going to see, Rav Ukva Bar Chama talks about such a case, litein lo dmei hezek anavav, that if the price of wine went down, or it soured, or they lost it, or whatever the case would be, he could sue them as ganavim. That's what I'm agreeing with you. Talking about two different cases. It's not here that Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef were disagreeing about the Chelik Bechera. Hachinami noten lo demei hezek anavav. No, no, only in certain cases. This is not a geneva for, they did it in the open. I mean, this is just geneva in the sense, the broadest sense. They took something that wasn't theirs.
The din that we keep saying that if they're mashbiach, if he doesn't get shish time, it's dafka in the shevach, but the karen is...
Yeah, for sure. Oh, that we said before, b'shevach shish pichu, or b'shevach sheshofku. That was the two lishainas of the bright and the sifri that we had yesterday. That's depending on the machlekes. Whether it's natural increase, the machlekes Revi and Rabbana. Heicha itmar de Rav Ukva bar Chama, and where indeed was the case that Rav Ukva bar Chama was referring to, that you now refer to when you said it means hezek, where was that case? We never heard of that before. It was this case. Ahad yom Rav Yudah bar Shmuel, b'choru pashut shiniach lema avihem anavim, ubatzru zeitim umaskum, and the b'chor wanted, he was meicha, b'chor notel pishnai, and that's afilu darchum. So we asked over there, how could you say he's Naito Pishnayim if basically the Gandovim were Kenet? In this case, his brothers were Kenet. How could he get Pishnayim in a Geneva? Mikora Inve Ashtachamra. And there, Abba Baruch Lebrachama Litain Lo Dmei Hezek Anavav is what it meant. To pay the damages that they might have caused. He's saying that the Mecha is a Mecha. Legabe what? Legabe the fact that I can sue them. And they can't say, look, we're all in this together. If we lost money, we lost money. So we're not in this together. Because I asserted my chelik, and you can't damage me without my willingness to go along. Mamela, I want you to pay me back.
It's not yet. The Gemara mentions a change of state, darchum by another, not by Zaysen.
Yeah, because you can use...
The olive oil is already paid, it's not a change of state.
It's still a change of state.
Darchum
is either. Yeah. Omer Avasi. B'chor shenatal chelik kepashut viter. You hear this? B'chor is a nice guy. So Lamaisa, the brothers, look, they have this massive estate, $300 million. I mean, right now they want to know what to do with the lockers of the swimming pool. So they want to split it. So the Bechor says, look, the truth is there's only three lockers. I mean, so, okay, Mamela, I'll take one locker and you each take one locker. Yeah, but you're a Bechor. Nah, it's okay. Once he said that, he's not a Bechor anymore. So he was Mevater. Oh, that's the Gemara's next question. That's the question. My Viter, what did he, what, on what was he Mevater? So Rav Papa, Mishmei de Rava Amar Viter Bota Sadeh, he was Mevater on the locker. Now you understand the question of whether he can be Mevater on the locker is not a Shaila at all, because the locker is being Mevater B'Shas Chaluka. So that even a Pashit would have been able to be Mevat. Because B'Shas Chaluk, everybody's got their own. The question over here is, if it's true that the Bechor actually has a right to his Chelik from the beginning, then he could have been Mevater on the whole darn thing. Like this, you'll say, what do you mean he's Mevater? You can't be Mevater on the Yerusha. You can give it away after you get it, but you can't say, I hereby declare that I'm not an heir. There's no such thing. A Matana... You can say, I don't want the matana. I mean, you'll never be zeichet. So if we're derech latate lo pishnai, that it has a din of a matana, so then he could actually be mevater on the whole thing. If not, he's just like the pashut. So in this case, since they were splitting the lockers, so he was mevater, only legabe the lockers. What koyach did he have to be mevater other things? It wasn't his rishus yet. This is the machloikis now between Rav Papa and Rav Papi. So Rav Papa quotes Rava as saying, the Viter was only in the lockers. Motas Sadeh. Rav Papi Mishmei Durav Amar Viter B'chol Erechasim Kula. He loses the entire extra $100 million because he gave up on the extra lock, half locker, third locker. So this is a Machlokas. So what is it dependent on? Rav Papa Mishmei Durav Amar Viter Motas Sadeh is only Mavat in the locker. Kasova Ein Lo LeBechor Kodem Chaluka. He holds a Bechor has no more rights than a Pashet. At the moment of Chalukah, that's when he gets his Chelek Bechorah. So what's a Chayach to say? I am a fine person who will not take a Chelek Bechorah. Talk whatever you want. When it comes time for the Chalukah, you're still a Bechor. So you can't be Mevater. Therefore, Ma'ada Ata Liyade Achir Lidach Lo'achir. You can only be Mevater on what's in your hands to be Mevater. Right now, the estate is being split only in terms of the lockers and the swimming pool. That's what you're Mevater, and what your statements are meaningless to us. That you're a nice guy. It's irrelevant. Whereas Rav Papi Mishmei de Rava Amar, no, Viter Bechol Erechasim Kula. because he holds yesh lo lebechor konim chaluka, and therefore bina acha b'acha b'kula. Once he was mevater on the locker, since he has rights to things even before the chaluka on the chelak habechera, so he's basically saying, I give up. I'm not going to take my chelak habechera. So there goes all of those stocks. Hey, hey. Okay? Hoder of Papi, Rav Papa lav beferushi tomorrow l'michlalait. You should know, Rav Papa and Rav Papi never beferish argued about the particular case that we're talking about. What really happened is that Rava, that they were quoting over here, gave a psak, and they were arguing about that psak. The mela, we applied it to a particular case, but it was Michlala Itmar. What was the mice Michlala Itmar? It was a case of Bechor, the Azel Zavin Nichse, the David the Pasha. The Bechor thought he was hot stuff, and he's the oldest, he could do what he wants. So he goes and he sells part of the estate. Everybody said, well, who gave you the right to sell anything? I understand. You're Bechor, you're selling our chelek. So Ozo Yatmi, meanwhile, the brothers died. The Yatomim of the Pashut, they went into the field that had been sold by the Bechor, and they went to harvest the Tamarim. So they went L'meichel Tamri, Mehana L'kuchas, from the people who had bought it from the Bechor, because they held the Bechor had no right to sell it. They know that their fathers were against the sale, so they ignored the fact that the people claimed that they had bought it. They said it was an illegal purchase. So what happens? The buyers come out and start beating up the kids. So they beat them up. So Amilu Krovim, so the relatives of the kids say to the buyers, you're such a bunch of lousy, no good things. Lo mistaides of intino. It's not bad enough that you illegally purchased their property, because you bought it from the older brother and no right to sell it to you. But no, you have the chutzpah, that mimcha nami mechitalu. But you also beat them up when they come to assert their legal rights. So they sued them. Otolakami the Rava. And here's where the psak of Rava became nogea. So they came to Rava, and Rava said, Lo asava lo klum. What the Bechor did was nonsense. So now, how do we know what that meant? Because Rav Papa and Rav Papi argued about what it was that he had meant in the psak. So Mar Sava Rav Papi held, Lo asava lo klum in the chelek that he had sold of the Pasha. The other brother's chelek, obviously, was ridiculous. But even his own chelek ha-pashut was nothing. But in the chelek of the Bechira, that enochinami, he sold. Why? Because the Bechor has a right to his chelek before the chalukah, and therefore that chelek he sold. And that wasn't what Rava was talking about, because they were coming only to assert their own chelek, the kids. But so he said it this way, anything that was a chelek ha-pashut, it was loyos of aloiklum. Whereas Mar Savar, that actually, Bekulu, he didn't do a darn thing, even the Chelek HaBechira, because he held that it was only after Chalukah that a Bechor can be Mevater. In which case, in the case of the lockers that we applied it to before, that he was Mevater only, says Rav Papa, only in the lockers. So that was goofy how we understood the way that Rav Papi and Rav Papa explained the Psak of Rava. In the case of the sale, that's the way we applied their logic to the Bechor that was Mavata on the locker. So depending on how they learned, that's the Mechlola Itma, depending on how they understood the Psak of Rava as to how it applied to the Chelek HaBechira, that's what we understood was the Machloikas. Is a Bechor Naito before Chalukah or not? So if he's Naito before Chalukah, then when he's Mavata on a locker, he can indeed Mavata on his whole Chelek. But if he wasn't Naito, yeah. But if not, it could only be Mevater on the lock, which is the way Rav Papa understood. Alma ina lebechor kaidim chaluka. Lamaisa hilchata, yesh lebechor kaidim chaluka. The halacha is he does have rights. Because of that, if he's Mevater on the locker, he's Mevater on the whole thing. And there was even a crazy case where Marzutra, from the town of Rishpa, he had his brothers, they were coming along with a basket full of peppers. And so it belonged to the estate, so they needed to split it. So he figured, ah, what the heck, who cares, you know, a couple extra peppers. So he says to his brothers, let's just split it three ways, you know. Oh, boy. So give them 10 cents worth of peppers. So he gave it b'shove, he split polak, son of the papa, b'arach b'shove. So then they sued him. They said that he doesn't get a chelik v'chayra in the other $100 million. So after the Kami to Ravashi said to him, look, you were Mavater on the peppers, so you were Mavater on the whole thing. If you wanted to give away the peppers, you could have said, I'll give you my chelik b'chayra. But to say, I don't have a chelik b'chayra, forget it. Since that was already in your hands, you were just bevater on all things.
Do they have to be worth shavu or something like that, or on the count of something that he was
it has to be money, otherwise it's not feet.
Otherwise the trick is you take three old marshmallows and say, let's split it evenly. You know, then
I wouldn't want to be a member of your family. You can see already how his mind is turning.
Well, I'm saying,
Rashi told us,
you have to think in terms of that.
100%. There's a sucker born out of every man. So, Zakeh Eilek HaMishnah. HaOmer Ish Ploni B'ni B'chor Lo Yito Pishnai Ish Ploni B'ni Lo Yirashi Mechav Lo HaMaklum Shita Moshkatu B'Torah. If a father says, Mr. So-and-so, my so-called B'chor, he ain't getting nothing from me, no Chelik B'chora, or Mr. So-and-so, my son, he doesn't get a dime of my estate. That's a meaningless statement. And it's impossible to cut out somebody from what he has a right to. If he's a Bechor, he gets a right to the Bechira. If he's a Poshet, he gets a right to the Poshet. There is no way to say, you do not get a Yerusha, because that's attempting to change a din that the Torah defines. And that's called Matneh HaMashkatuv Torah. The Tanai is Batel. Now, that doesn't mean there's no way to write a will. What can you do? There is a way to write a will, obviously. First of all, I mean, we saw before that there was always the shita of Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, right? And Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka said that you can cut out somebody, but it was in very limited ways. And he never said that you could cut someone out by saying you're not Yerush. He said you can give away the Yerusha to one of them, which Mamela leaves the other one without anything to be Yerush. But even Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka, Lechora, never said, there's no such thing as this guy getting a Yerusha. That you can't do. You can give to whom you wish among the Yorshim. The Rabbanan argue Rabbi Yochanan ben Broka. They hold you can't even do that. So what can you do? How, in practical terms, could a person like Richie write a will? He would have to give a living will. So we'll give you a couple of minutes. He would have to write a living will in which he's basically giving as a gift certain things to his sons before his own departure from the staff. That can be done in two ways. Either mitzava b'toch mita, if somebody sees the end is approaching. For instance, he's sitting in a daf yomi and somebody's holding a chair over his head. It's about to come down on him. That's called a shchiv mira. You know, the end is clearly there. So Mamela, when he says something, he doesn't even have to make a kinyan, because they wanted to spare him the additional pain of realizing there's nothing he can do in time. Or he can be wide awake in daf yomi and fear nothing. Then he could write out such a will, but he would have to include a way of being mocked. It would have to be a kinyan involved, because then he's not mitzava mitoch mita. Right, but those are living wills. So the gift has to be chal before he dies, and it has all of the modern-day implications of a living will. At what point is it chal? What's the din of the peiros? Who's in charge of the property until he dies? This has become now a very, very popular form of trust. Bizman HaZeh, over the past decade, it's become very popular. But this in the Gemara was a very early way of creating a trust fund. But in all such cases, you must avoid usage of the terms inherit, because then you're trying to be Maslam Ashkasu B'Torah, because you're not really changing inheritance, you're just giving a gift. It turns out that because he gave the gift, there was nothing left to inherit. But the moment you try to play around with the din in the Torah, and you talk about inheritance, forget it. Then your whole Tanai is bought and the contract is wrecked. So therefore, continues the Gemara, HaMechalek Nechasav Alpiv. Now somebody who wants to create splitting things to give as gifts here, either because he's dying, or because he got that chair poised over his head, or because he writes out a will and he made kinyanim. Normally the word Mechalek Nechasav Alpiv refers to a case where a guy is a Shechiv Mira. So he's Mitzaveh Machmat Mita is the technical term. Because of his approaching demise, he can be Mitzaveh without a kinyan. So Riba Liechad, if he gives more than what would have been appropriate to one of his children, or he gives less, Miyet Lachad, or Ishvalen at Abachor, or he gives things out in a way that a Bachor does not get a double chelik, over there, Dvarav Kayami, because then he's giving it as a gift. But if he makes the mistake of saying that it's in terms of a Yerusha, then he messes it up. Im Amar Mishum Yerusha, Lo Amar Klum. So if he says, son A should inherit such and such a field. The Bechor should inherit along with the other brothers. That's all garbage. Because then it becomes matneh al ma shekatuv b'Torah. Katav bein b'tchila, bein b'emtza, bein b'sof, mishum matana, torav kayamim. However, if he puts in the lashon of matana, so then it's clear that he means that I mean to give you the equivalent of a Yerusha, but it's clearly as a living gift. So then it's okay that it doesn't, we understand his intent. So then the contract, the will, would be a valid contract.
You mentioned the condition that this takes effect 10 minutes.
Yeah, we'll see. We're going to get into all of these dinim later. Okay, says the Gemara, but it seems pretty clear over here that since the Mishnah opens up with the fact that if a guy attempts to change the dinim of Yerusha, he cannot, because he's matneh mashkatuv b'Torah, that is not true, alibi de Rabbi Yehuda. Because the famous Rabbi Yehuda is that if a person makes a tnai against something that's in the Torah, which involves only monetary issues, which this is, then monetary issues you can. It's only iser issues that you cannot. Where's the place that would come out beautifully? Somebody marries a woman and he makes a prenuptial agreement that he is not going to provide she'er ksut va'ona. So not to provide ona, that's not monetary. That's a physical requirement that you're going to cause this woman pain, that she's not going to be able to have sexual relations with you. So that's clearly matnah mashikatuv b'Torah. But what about the part of not giving her a support, not giving her clothes, not giving her food? That's money. So memela, if you make such a tnai, then the prenup would be good. I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda. Since our Mishnah says even on a monetary issue, it's not good. Apparently it's not like Rabbi Yehuda. Now let's just see that inside. Where do we see that? The time. As is the rule, whenever somebody makes a condition where the condition has no legal validity, the rule is that the condition becomes invisible, and what it is that you set out to do happens irregardless of the condition. So that's what Rabbi Meir says. You owe her she'er ksut v'ona, because there's no such thing as a marriage without she'er ksut v'ona. Rabbi Yehuda says, now wait a minute. B'davar shel mamon, on the monetary elements, t'na'o kayam. So that part is good. Says the Gemara, come off it. What did Rabbi Yehuda say, that you can be masa mashkas of the Torah? The point over there is that the woman can be meichel. So it's because of mechila, that's all. You can be mochel any type of monetary chiv. So over there, no connection to our case. Our case is a father is trying to disinherit a son. So why should the son be Michael? What do you mean? So what, you're telling me, well, the son was quiet and said, well, he's going to sit and argue about it. Well, obviously, I'm going to argue about it, but there's no mechila here. So therefore, afilu tamer Rabbi Yehuda. Over there, the woman signed on the prenup. No. So atam yada v'kamachla. Over there, she knew about it, and she was mochelet. Where was anybody mochel over here? You're trying to do something which you have the koyach to do. Rabbi Yehuda's also made it. You can't be matneh al mashikatuv b'Torah. Omer Rabbi Yosef. Amar ish ploni b'ni b'choriyu. A guy who identifies a certain gentleman as his ben ha-bechor, notel pishnai. Ish ploni b'chorhu. But if he says, Mr. So-and-so is a b'chor, but he doesn't say, he's my b'chor, then ain't no tel pishnai, even though it's his son, because maybe all that he meant was, he's a b'chor, and he's a pidyon ha-ben. He could be saying he's a b'chor to his mother, but he's not saying, he's my b'chor for Yerusha. So, because Dilma b'chor de'ima ka'amar, maybe he was talking about a b'chor of a mother. Ha'huda atu l'kami to Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, a guy comes as a witness to Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, and he tells him, listen, I know this whole life, this kid's whole life, he was the Bechor, so he should get Pishnayim. So Rabbi Bar Bar Chana asked him, how do you know? Because his father, every time he did something wrong, his father used to call him idiot Bechor. So he was a great disappointment to his father, and therefore he should get a Pishnayim. So Avikari le Avua Bukhra Sikhla. So said Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, then maybe he was just a Bechor to his mother. Who's to say it was his Bechor? Dilma Bechor to Imo. As a matter of fact, every Bechor to a mother is called an idiot Bechor. Not in the sense of being an idiot, but of being a Bechor Shote. Just like we call Hadas Shote. What's Hadas Shote? It's wild Hadas, it's not Roy for the Halacha. So he was still calling his kid all the time, yeah, you Bechor Shaita. You could have been a real Bechor. You had to be a Bechor only to your mother. So now you're not a kosher Bechor. Maybe he was Bedafka telling him that he's not going to get a double chalik. So, well, you bring me a raya that he's a Bechor from the fact that his father said he's not a Bechor. What's the matter with you? Kol Bukhra de Imanami Bechor Sach Lakorule. There's another case where somebody came to Reb Chanina's Beis Din and he said, Mosekani Bezeshu Bechor. And Reb Chanina asked him, how do you know he's a Bechor? Minoya data, Omar Lei, because his father was an alternative medicine doctor, you know? And people would come to the father when they had an eye problem. So the father would always say, go to my son Shikhat. He's a Bechor. And everybody knows that the saliva of a Bechor is very useful for curing eye maladies. So he was identifying his son as a Bechor in terms of paying him for some saliva. Boy, what a living. So I said, how do you know? Maybe he was a Bechor to his mother. V'dilma Bukhra de Imahu. Come on, everybody knows that only a Bechor of an Abba has good saliva. So Gemiri Bukhra de Abba Masi Ruke. Bukhra de Imahu lo Masi Ruke. I mean, this guy was a professional. If he's telling you to buy saliva off of Shikhas, clearly, Shikhas must have been a great Bechor. So we'll continue the sugya now. Begins the sugya of Tumtum. We'll do that Bezrat Hashem on Mitzvah Shabbos.